If I ask you to give me a one-word description of David, or as few words as you possibly could, and we're going to put them up on the board behind me, hopefully. Give me some descriptions. Wait a minute. All right, time out. Freddie said honest. Novell, I heard him say a man after God's own heart. And what? All right. Yes. Okay, we got that, and that's. What? Let's start on this side, and in some type of order, loudly. A shepherd.
Grave.
My bad. Brave. Murderer. Pardon?
Polygamist.
Adulterer. Did you say ruddy? Ruddy. He's described that way. What is ruddy, Jeff? You brought it up. So, pardon? Yeah, certainly outdoorsy and rough complexion, I guess. But he's also described as a handsome man. All right, coming back. Prayerful. He respected God. He was a writer. He was a poet. Yeah, he was a songwriter and a poet. Yes? A killer? Well, we've got murderer up there. What? A father?
Pat?
Willful. I've ignored this side. You guys be quiet. Hang on. Yes.
Fallible.
He made mistakes. Pardon?
Humble.
What kind of picture have I painted on the board up there behind me? Is everything along the same lines? Or do you see a person that perhaps is tormented, a person of conflict? If you were all these things, what kind of shape would you be in? You know, I've heard it said that those people that deal with the most problems in their life are the ones that write the songs and the poetry and the books that we consider to be, in today's time, classic stuff. Some of the greatest songs that you've ever heard have words that touch your soul that came from a person who went through some type of heartache. Perhaps that's why David did such a good job writing those songs, because that describes a person with a lot of heartache. But it also describes David, and David is described as a man after God's own heart. Who described him that way? More specific, on earth. That's Paul's description. Turn to Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Paul is in a synagogue in Antioch of Pisidia. And as he's talking to those people, those Jews in the synagogue, as many times the lessons and or sermons that we see, especially in Acts and throughout the New Testament, especially in the book of Hebrews, those sermons start with a recap of history. And so the speaker will go back in time and he will call up the patriarchs and he will call up David and he will call up those great men of Jewish history in order to bridge to the Son of God. And Paul uses that description there in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, when he talks about David, a man after God's own heart. That's where that scripture is. Now, if you'll look also back, and go ahead and turn back to 1 Samuel, because that's where we'll spend most of the time, either 1 or 2 Samuel. Chapter 16, verse 7, God does describe what he's looking for in a king. And it has to do with the heart. What do you remember about Saul as far as Saul's description, physical description? He was head and shoulders above everyone else. Saul looked like a king. Was that important, you think, the first go around, perhaps? Did he need to look kingly as he was breaking new ground? Ground that Samuel wasn't in favor of, and rightfully so. And what was Saul's attitude when he first became king? He was a humble man. What was his attitude towards the end? He was a very prideful man. But we look there, and Samuel is sent to the house of Jesse. Jesse has how many kids, or how many sons? He's got 8, I believe. Go down there, and I think it's the next verse down, or maybe 2 after, that talks about that. David was the youngest. And as Jesse brought those boys in front of Samuel, Samuel was expecting God to say, "It's him, it's him, it's him, it's him." Well, he didn't do it, and Samuel had to ask, is there any more? And God told Samuel, "You're not looking for appearance. I'm looking at what's in a man's heart." And David was selected thereof. What are the characteristics that make David a man after God's own heart? And that's what the points of the lesson tonight are going to be. What are some of those characteristics that lead us to call him, or David to be described as, a man after God's own heart? Certainly, I've picked faith to be one of them. I heard the word penitent. There are several, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, as David's attitude in certain things. As harsh and as rough as David's attitude was in some things, it was totally the opposite in some other things. And that is reflected in that list that we have back up there on the board. What's the first episode of great faith that we see David portraying? David as anointed king, did he step into office the next day? What was he doing at the point that he was anointed king? He was tending Jesse's sheep. What did he do afterwards? What other job did he end up with? He was the musician in the court of Saul that calmed Saul's soul. The scripture says that David left from time to time the court of Saul to go back and tend the sheep of his father Jesse. And so, first major story we've got of David is that of what? Pardon? What's the first major event that we have a picture of who David is? Boom. The rock, right? Slingshot? David and Goliath. Goliath has been tormenting the Israelites for 40 days. The Israelites are camped out on one side of the mountain. The Philistines are camped out on the other side of the mountain. They've dug their trenches. They're ready to do their battle. If you've ever done studies of how battle was performed in days gone by, modern days as well, a lot of trenches are dug. A lot of positions are fortified. The Israelites are in one of those positions. They're dug in. They're ready to go. What have they done regarding Goliath? Absolutely nothing. They've sat there and they've let Goliath taunt them for 40 days. Why is David there? Who got him to go to the front lines? Jesse did. His daddy. His daddy said, "Look, I know they're in battle. I know they're down there fighting. I know they're in the trenches. Can you take some food and go check on your brothers? What did Dad want to know? Certainly, brothers need to be well fed, but he wanted a report from the front lines. How are my sons doing? What did those three older brothers who were there in Saul's army, how did they react to David even being there? They weren't crazy about it. They certainly didn't like it. They had something to say to David about being there. But what did David do? 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 26. And this, to me, is one of the all-time great speeches. And I didn't count the words. It's not very many. It takes up one verse in your Bible. Can't be too long. And I think it's proof that you don't have to say a whole lot to say a whole lot. 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I mean, it's pretty simple as far as David was concerned, wasn't it? Who is, and I laugh about that every time I read it, who is that uncircumcised? Can you not hear the sarcasm just dripping off his voice? Who is that uncircumcised Philistine? How tall was Goliath? Somewhere in the neighborhood of 9 feet, roughly, if I remember correctly. He was a big man. A lot bigger than David. David showed no fear. David had no qualms. David saw him as what he was, unable to stand before God. And David took care of it and took the slingshot and took the smooth stones and went out there and did his thing with Goliath. So he was a man of great faith. He was also a man who was able to forgive. And I think that's very important. And I think that is one of those characteristics that obviously we know God has. Because as Christians, what do we have the right to do? Come before our God and ask for forgiveness of our sins. And what will God do? He'll not only forgive them, He'll forget them. And that's a pretty amazing thing. Yes? Yes, He'll wipe them away. Absolutely. 1 Samuel chapter 24. We're kind of going to be back and forth between 24 and 26. What happens between Saul and David? How does Saul feel about David? Pardon? He got jealous. He did not want to acknowledge the fact that David was God's next chosen, or that David really was anything important. And he chased David, and he fought with David, and he tried to kill David. For that matter, he tried to kill his own son Jonathan for trying to protect David. In chapter 24, what's this first instance that we have where David and his men have hidden in a cave? Who comes into the cave? What do David's men try to get David to do? They urge him to go kill Saul. What does David do? He cut the corner of his robe off. Why? Why would you do something like that? Prove that you could? Prove who's smarter? Nanny boo boo, I got you. Look in 1 Samuel 24, verse 4. I'm going to read 4, 5, 6, and 8. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. Would that bother you? If you snuck up behind somebody else and humiliated them in that way, would that bother you? If they're trying to kill you, would that bother you? Maybe. It bothers David, didn't it? Verse 6. And he said to his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. The next three words are key. The Lord's anointed, comma, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord. Need to remember that, because that plays in the next instance that we look at as well. David would not take action against Saul to harm him because he was anointed of God to be king. Does that say anything to us about how we are to treat people? Now, do you know anybody here tonight that's anointed of God? In this sense, no. But what about our elders and the position they're in? Yeah. Are there people here that demand and should get our respect? And I mean the position demands it. I don't mean that someone demands verbally, you should respect me. You follow what I'm getting at there? Don't put words in my mouth on that, I guess. I will not do something bad to the Lord's anointed. And he didn't. Verse 8. David arose afterwards. He went out of the cave and he called out to Saul and he said, My Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stopped with his face to the earth and he bowed. And then he had some things to say to Saul. And he asked Saul, Why are you chasing me? What are you doing? Do you recognize, Saul, that I could have taken your life just a few minutes ago? I could have put an end to you. I could have taken the knife and put it to your throat and stopped this madness. Why are you chasing me? But I didn't do that. I took a corner of your robe. Look down at your robe, see it's missing. You know I was there. Verse 16. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, Is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And then he said to David, You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. Saul's apologizing. How long did that apology last? Because two chapters later, he's back at it again. In chapter 26. What's the situation in chapter 26? Saul's chastening. David's hiding. Saul doesn't know where David is, but David knows where Saul is. Chapter 26. What is David, or what is the recommendation given to David by the group that's with him? Same thing as it was in a cave, isn't it? Saul's down there. We need to go down there and end this right now. What's David's position? Yeah. Let's wait. How is Saul? Look in the scripture and notice something about where Saul is. It's nighttime. Saul, his chief of command, or his chief general, or chief officer, executive officer, however you want to put it, is Abner. Saul is laying on the ground asleep. Abner is next to him. Spears in the ground, ready for him to be able to grab. Then everyone else is bunked out around Saul. Defensive posture, right? They potentially are expecting something to happen, so they've laid everything out to protect the king. David looks down and sees him. and says, "Who wants to go with me?" Now, what are the odds of David getting in and out of there in one piece? He's got, I don't know how many were with him. But he's protected. It's nighttime. What are the odds? You think he can get down there with stealth? Did he have a stealth robe? You know? He's going to get in and he's going to get back out. We know the end of the story. Verse 6, chapter 26, verse 6. Then David answered and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zerah, brother of Joab. Joab's important, by the way. We'll get to him in a little bit. Saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul in the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping within the camp with his spear stuck in the ground by his head. And Abner and the people lay around him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered your enemy to your hand this day. Therefore, please," emphasis mine, "let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike him a second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him, for who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or she shall go out to battle and he shall perish." Which is what happened. He went to battle and he perished. What does David take again as his position? "You will not strike him because I cannot do this against the Lord's anointed." Are we that forgiving? If someone was trying to kill us, David was. And he was a man who could forgive. Now, in between there, there's a story about Abigail and Nabal. We don't have time to go into it because I want to get to Absalom. And I don't know if the third characteristic that I've written down in my notes is really different from forgiveness, or it's a part of forgiveness. It could either be 2A and 2B, or it could be number 3. I don't know. What I've written down is his tender heart. Now, certainly to be a person who can forgive, there needs to be some tenderness of heart. And maybe I should put these two together, but we'll go. Yeah. He certainly did. When he was on the cross, he forgave them all because he said they do not know what they're doing. That is correct. If we're not willing to forgive, we won't be forgiven. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 13. You remember the story about Amnon, Absalom, and Tamar? All children of David. You remember what Amnon did to Tamar, his own sister? He raped his sister. Chapter 13, verse 21. Look there. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very angry. He found out. He knew what the story was. How angry was Absalom? Extremely angry. What did Absalom end up doing? He killed Amnon. At that point, what had David lost? Some of this turmoil and conflict. First of all, David had a son who raped his sister. Then 2 years later, Absalom took the matters into his own hands and killed Amnon. Now, David has a son who's been killed by another son. What did Absalom do at that point? Hit the road. He fled. Think that was a good thing to do? What would you do if you did all that? Would you want to face your father? Probably not. What was David's attitude? He did forgive him later. At first, not so much. David loved Absalom. Regardless of those things that Absalom did, he was still loved by his father. And that's certainly a good trait to have. My kids have made me mad a time or two. I think we told them at one point, we love you, but we do not like you. And most of you, if you're parents, have said that or thought that at least. And if you hadn't thought it, you probably just not wanting to admit it. But at some point or another, all of our kids disappoint us in some way or another. Thankfully, I've never had anything quite like that. But can David stop loving Absalom regardless? He's his son. Remember Joab? What was Joab's position in David's army? We talked about him just a minute ago. I'm not sure if he was the absolute head of the army, but he was really close to the top. He handled a lot of military strategy for David. He did a lot of dirty work for David. When there was a battle to be fought and there was killing to be done, Joab was there. But in this particular case, with Absalom out and AWOL for a couple of years hiding out from David, what was Joab's position? He actually tried to work to get him back. Actually, I wanted to read something too before I got to that point, looking at my notes. I want to illustrate the point. Look in chapter 13, verses 37, 38, and 39. I said Absalom was gone for 2 years. Did I say that? You should read the scripture to study it daily to see that which is being taught is so, because that's wrong. He's gone 3 years. Nobody corrected me. That's bad. Pay attention. Chapter 13, verse 37. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Amihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And King David longed to go to Absalom, for he had been comforted concerning Amnon since he was now dead. He had gotten over Amnon. He had mourned. He had grieved. That was behind him. Who did he want to see? Absalom. Who, surprisingly, took a proactive part in that? Joab. Now, this is a little bit out of character for Joab, but it shows what kind of person Joab was, which was totally and absolutely dedicated to his boss, King David. And Joab went out and hired a woman who went before David. And that's what 14 is, the first part of 14 is about, 14 down to about verse 21. And this woman went to David and basically told the story of Absalom, Amnon, and David as a fictional third party. And she went before the king and she says, I have a son, he killed another son. Now the rest of the family wants him so they can have his head and he's all I've got. And if I give him up, I won't have anything, and they're after me too, and they're mad and all this kind of stuff. And finally, David sees through all that, and he said, did Joab send you? And the woman said, yes, he did. Joab sent me. I must tell you the truth. And so David called Joab, and he said, look, if it means that much to you, go get him. And he went and got him. Absalom came back. But David didn't forgive him right away, or at least didn't see him. Because when Absalom came back, he lived there in Jerusalem for 2 years. Check me to make sure I'm right on that. I'm sure this is where I got the two a while ago. I just had my two and three confused. Absalom was in Jerusalem for 2 years and had not seen David. And during those 2 years, he kept putting in calls to Joab. Joab, I need a little help here. I need an audience with David. And Joab wouldn't return the calls. And finally, Absalom said, you know what? Joab has a field that's next to my field. I know how to get him here. And he went over and set Joab's field on fire. Joab showed up then and said, what is it you want? I want to go see my dad. Because either he needs to forgive me or execute me. One of the two need to get this out and over with. And so he does. He sees David. And David fell on him and wept and forgave him. How much thanks did Absalom then show to David? Because what did Absalom do next? The rest of the story? He went out and started recruiting his own army. All right, I got Dad to forgive me. Now I can get about the real business that I want to take care of, which is getting him off the throne. And that's what Absalom's end game was, taking the kingdom. Would you still love your son if he was doing all these things? David did. Absalom got so powerful and so strong that David had to flee Jerusalem. As he was out in the wilderness being chased by his own son, Absalom, much as the way a few years or the other stories that we've read, he was being chased by Saul. Do you think his attitude would change about his son, Absalom? And it didn't. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5. Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders concerning Absalom. What did Joab and the other captains know? What was Absalom trying to do? Absalom was trying to kill his father. Absalom was trying to take the country. Absalom was committing treason. David told the captains, be kind to him. Could they? Would they? Should they? And then why are we told that King David made it clear that everyone heard him say that? How would you feel if you were that soldier who were told to go out, chase down the enemy, but don't really do anything to him? Bad command, good command, conflicting command, hard to carry out command. Verse 6, so the people went out into the field of battle against Israel. The battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place there that day. Then Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth tree, and his head caught in the terebinth, so that he was left hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule which was under him went forward. Earlier in this chapter, if you recall, we didn't read it, but what did Absalom have that made him the most handsome man in the kingdom? Long locks of hair. And the scripture says that he cut it off once a year, whether he needed to or not, and he had so many shekels of hair. I guess if there had been a locks of love in that time, Absalom would have been the number one donator to that particular charity. 200 shekels. Joe said it was 200 shekels of hair.
Verse 36.
He had a lot of hair. Also, I thought about another comparison here. How was Saul described? The most handsome man of Israel? How is Absalom so described? Maybe there's something to that. I don't know. Verse 10. Now a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in a terebinth tree. So Joab said to the man, you just saw him? And why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. What order did Joab have concerning Absalom? Not to do this, right? Not to kill him, to treat him with kindness, to deal kindly with him. Therefore, what order did this young man have concerning Absalom? The same, right? Because who had heard the orders given? Everybody. What did Joab say? You should have done it. And the young man said, well, if I had done it, I would have gotten in trouble and you wouldn't have backed me up. What did Joab go do? He stuck more than a dart in him. King James calls it dart. Verse 14. Now this is after talking with this other soldier, this young man. Then Joab says, I cannot linger here with you. I love that part. I am not going to listen to you anymore. I can't put up with this foolishness. And he took 3 spears in his hand and he thrust them through Absalom's heart while he was still alive in the midst of the terebinth tree. Uh-oh, who just disobeyed orders? Joab did. Was Joab wrong in disobeying his orders? You have to conclude that he was. As far as disobeying, or he disobeyed a direct order from his king. From a military strategy perspective, was he right? He just saved David's life and all of David's household. What would Absalom have done to David and all his family? He did what had to be done from a war perspective, from a battle perspective, from a perspective of the strategy of keeping the kingdom intact. What did David say about it? Look in verse 33. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate, and he wept. And as he went, he said thus, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place, O Absalom, my son. This didn't go over well with Joab. Look in verse 5 of chapter 19. Then Joab came into the house of the king, and he said, today you have disgraced your servants, who today saved your life and the lives of your sons and your daughters, the lives of your wives and your concubines, in that you love your enemies and you hate your friends. For you have declared today that you regard neither princes nor servants, for today I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died, it would have pleased you. Who talks to the king that way? What did the king do to Joab? He listened to Joab. Joab was right and wrong. David was right and wrong. David did disrespect his soldiers, Fran. He failed in this particular instance, for sure. But as we look at that man, David, and we call him a man after God's own heart, how does God look at us? Does He approve of the things that we do? Does He allow us to have free will to do them? Does He weep if we're lost? He does. We know that from reading the Scripture. We know that He is sorrowful when man does wrong. David was too. Was he a man after God's own heart in that respect? Certainly he was. Now there's 100 other stories. I had several more on here I wanted to try to get around to. There was Jonathan's son Mephibosheth, which David brought into his own palace and king and forgave the exploits of Mephibosheth's grandfather, Saul, and didn't hold it against Mephibosheth. Jonathan's son. There was Abigail and Nabal. Nabal, who treated David with such disrespect, and Abigail asked for a little mercy, and David gave it. Nabal fell over with a heart attack shortly thereafter, and David didn't have to wield his spear against him. But I think these are some of the reasons that we see David referred to as a man after God's own heart. And certainly when it comes to courage and faith and forgiveness and having a tender heart, there's certainly no one better to emulate. And I think we see that conflict, that we see it back up here on the board, that torment reflected in David's Psalms. Questions or comments? Gene? Joab must have had what? Well, I don't know. Their job was to either take turns or carry it all and do all the thing. My way of looking at it, it took his personal company, Joab's personal company, that tended to Joab during a battle were those 10 guys. All right? Then, after that happened, they kind of went on a feeding frenzy like sharks in the water. They took care of the rest of it. Other questions or comments? Then dismissed.